The Forgotten Rebels of Eureka, written by Claire Wright and read by Kate Hosking. A series of narrow ravines marked the long-awaited end to the 90-mile journey from Melbourne. "We found to our alarm," wrote Charles, "that we had one of the most dangerous and precipitous roads to descend which I ever saw attempted." The final stretch of the road ascended to a high tableland, and it was up this last incline that Charles Evans finally trudged, beckoned by the siren call of a scene he could hear but in no way envision. Atop the last gully, he was surrounded by eucalyptus and casuarina trees laced with wild cherry and honeysuckle. Another chronicler arriving in 1853, Thomas Macombie, recorded his first impressions of the Golden City. "A confused sound like the noise of a mighty multitude broke upon our ears, and a sudden turn of the road brought us in full view of Ballarat. I freely confess that no scene have I ever witnessed made so deep and lasting an impression on my mind." First, there was the barking of thousands of dogs chained outside tents and mine shafts marking territory. Then there were the horse bells, the crack of whips, the shrill chorus of parrots and the mirth of the kookaburra. The laughing jackass, newcomers like young John Deegan called it, was the bird greeting or mocking them? There was nothing ambiguous about the uproarious blasphemy of bullock drivers, their oaths echoing across the basin. "Overall," Deegan wrote years later, "that vague, indescribably murmurous sound, which seems to pervade the air where a crowd is in active motion, was his first impression, and it would never leave him. It was like a genuine fairy tale." Charles Evans made his final approach in the morning, but the bewitching effect was particularly astonishing for those weary travellers who arrived at night. Henry Mundy, a 20-year-old shepherd who had migrated from England with his parents in 1844, walked from Geelong to Ballarat to find his fortune. As Mundy later recalled, "the noises and scenes were indescribable." Standing on the ridge, he could see only the twinkle of a thousand campfires like a mirror image of the night sky. Yet the noise was still bellowing. During the evening meal, the talking and yelling was incessant. Later, there was the ubiquitous firing of guns and pistols, a release of the day's pent-up emotion, and accompanying the firearms, the ever-present rolling choir of the dogs. After the ritual gunfire ceased, accordions, concertinas, fiddles, flutes, clarionets, cornets, bugles, all were set going, each with his own tune. "The effect," said Mundy, "was deafening." Bug-eyed and prickle-eared, those who arrived during the prosperous months of late 1853 looked down upon a sprawling tent city. In the foreground lay the vast level diggings of East Ballarat. A creek wound through a valley of low, flat mounds and conical hills. Rising in the distance, Bakery Hill, and on the spur, the site of the original 1851 strikes, Golden Point.